Hear this. He's a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy habitation? God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. And then he says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. That passage, by the way, is kind of pulled out of the middle of something, just this crazy crescendo of praise to God. Sing to the God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. And then it says that God is a father to the fatherless. That great God. We've been lately just talking about the fear of God and how that we need to nurture that awe and the fear of a holy God. And when you do and you get near to God, you'll find that not only does the awe of God, the fear of God, draw you into his presence under him in worship, it also draws you to an awareness that he is Abba. He is a father. And he's passionate about the children in this world. He's so passionate about that. This great and holy God. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them rejoice exceedingly because our God loves all the little children. And where would we be if he had not loved us like that? So I want us to pray. We're going to pray for Childbridge. And one of the things that I've been so thankful for our church body because the majority, the core of our body, has somebody else living in their home, whether it's foster parenting or adoption, or they just have somebody living in their home because there's somebody that they want to reach out to. And it's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. And there's more that we can do. And this day, I'm expecting a ding in any minute now that Katie's plane will land in Missoula. And for those who don't know, we went up to greet them last night, 5 minutes. Well, not 5 minutes. Literally, the plane came over Missoula, and it circled several times and went to Great Falls. Huge frustration for her because this has been 3.5 years of just agonizing journey. And it's great to be out of Africa. You need to know how much I was praising God when she left Nigeria because of the danger level and all the stuff that goes on as a white lady in a town like Lagos. But she wanted to greet all those people that had gathered late at night. And she just wanted to just thank you and thank the church for all you've done in praying for this miracle to happen. She was more disappointed in that than her 30-hour journey and then not being able to land. And so we're gonna do something today. I literally woke up this morning. I didn't really get much sleep because we were doing that late. And then at 4 o'clock, I had to get up to take our foreign exchange student back to the airport. And so we went to the airport to meet Katie. We were going to bring Anna back to the airport just a few hours later. And so at 4-ish this morning, I was like, God, why are you bringing her here at 10:45 in the morning? That's the most perfect wrong time. I was explaining that to God in case he had just kind of gotten like, seriously, though. I was actually asking God, what is with that? Well, it was about, ding, little thing went on a little later. I was like, oh, I get it. After church, it'll be about the same time as they're coming from Missoula to home as us going from here to their house, and we're going to line up at their house, and we're going to celebrate God setting the fatherless in a home. Amen? I'm going to invite you into that celebration. We get to do that for them a lot more than 50. I'd be disappointed if you didn't come because, oh, who wants to miss that? Right? How many of you have invested in this praying for yours? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. We're going to go there, and we're going to. And by the way, Katie said this. Dad, I think that's so awesome. Oh, that'd be so great. You think that we could do that, that kind of thing? And then she said this. I hope they're not wanting to come in the house for tea. I am so tired. That's kind of overwhelming. I said, dear, we will not come in your house. So did you get that clue? What's that mean? We're not going in the house. We're going to line up. on their driveway and their porch, and we're going to sing praises to God, and we're going to welcome them home, and then we're going to do what? Go home, leave them alone. And she also said, and you know what? I've heard some people, she said, can you tell people this? I've heard some people saying, hey, we're coming over Monday with the kids. And you know what she really wants you to do? Stay home and pray for them. She's, by now, it's been a three-day journey trying to get home, and she just needs some time. And this little guy, you know, he's coming into white America, and he's hardly ever seen any white people. And he, for instance, they went to the place of Denver, the customs, and the lady with the badge, the police, you know, lady, white lady, said to him, who are you with, young? Tell me who you're with. And he just stared at her for like 4 minutes. They finally went ahead and let him through, and she said, Oliver, who are you with? Oh, I'm with Mommy. Oh, why didn't you tell her that? He is scared to death. So give him some time, okay? It's a huge change. But praise be to the living God. We get to celebrate today together. Amen? So, and by the way, after we get done praying here, Pastor Vidalis is going to show a video clip of some stuff that's going on in Cameroon today, and these children are very near to the heart of God. And he's going to share a little bit about what the Lord's laid on his heart concerning these children from our neighboring country. I call it that because Cameroon, I'm going to share a little more later, but it has become my neighboring country, and God has done that work. Father God, we come before your throne because, God, you are so amazing. You are so awesome. You are so crazy. Powerful, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And not in all your power and all your majesty, you are Abba, Father. You are a father to the fatherless. You are a father to all of us who are homeless and separated from you. And you paid a great cost. You brought us into your family. And oh God, I pray today you'd fill this place with your Holy Spirit, your holy, holy, holy Abba God Spirit today. We would have a hunger and a heart for all the children in this world that are left behind and abused and trampled, and all the children in this world that desperately need Jesus. God, I pray you'd fill us with your Spirit. We pray for Child Bridge, who has your heart, doing your work, placing children in homes that they might come to Jesus. God, bless them today. Bless them. Cover them, anoint them, empower them. God, I say you protect them from any lies of the enemy, and you sanctify them by your word and truth. And we thank you, God, that we get to be a part, a small part of a crazy cool ministry. Just encourage them today. And God, we pray you'd quicken our hearts to exalt you and praise you from the depth of our being. You are at work. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church. And by the way, it wasn't a promise given out there. It was a time when I had just come to a complete place of brokenness. I had, if you only knew, don't have time to tell you, but I'd gotten awareness that I wasn't doing anything in our pastorate, anything in the ministry that was doing anything that was lasting for eternity. And I was at a place of utter brokenness. I was at a retreat just crying out to God. And he said, I will build my church. We had gotten down to nothing, but I had to get there. And then I said, I had that kind of spiritual argument in my head. Oh, God, I know you're going to. But no, he said, I'm going to use you. And oh, my word. It changed my life. Acts chapter 1, he had just told them, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Father God, light up your kingdom in our hearts today. Jesus, do your work. To the end of the earth. I stand before you today. It has been a crazy week. I am the most sleep-deprived I've preached in a long time, and it started a week ago. But this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up after being up late trying to find, you know, meet Katie, and we took our Brazilian foreign exchange student to the same airport I'd been waiting at a few hours earlier, and she got on that plane, and I'm telling you, it was so hard because she's my daughter now. And I don't mean my daughter by the means of a foreign exchange program where they're supposed to call you mom and dad. That's all cool. But no, she's my daughter because of what Paul said. You have thousands of teachers, but you only have few fathers because I have begotten you again into the kingdom of God. Used us to bring her, used you to bring her gloriously into the kingdom while she was here. You can praise God for that. And so this morning, I had to part with somebody that God had given me as a daughter, and I sent the gospel into Brazil. And she left this place weeping because she was leaving family behind and knew that where she was going, most of her family did not yet know Jesus, but she knew what she needed to do. She needed to go to Brazil and to the end of the earth. And he gave them that commission, and what did they do? They got on their face and prayed. Amen? One accord prayer. They had taken this vision. They knew they had to reach the entire world, and there were 120 of them. I think that's about how many are in this room right now, minus our children. This group turned the world upside down. That's what they did. They prayed. 20 years ago, we had a guy who was a very zealous head of our missionary team. Yeah, he was the guy that, I don't know what you want to call it, missionary department in our church. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, he was the head of our missions. And he came to me and said, has your wife and I ever been in the mission field? Have you ever gone to see our missionaries, in particular in Cameroon? And I was like, no, and I'm okay with that. I pray for him every day. I like him a lot. He just went right at me and said, you're going. Didn't ask, didn't say you should pray about it, said, you're going. You need to know how thrilled I was to be headed to Cameroon. If you don't know anything about Cameroon, it is not a tourist destination. In no way. As a matter of fact, I had to start taking all these shots. And, you know, being a country boy, I'm like, this is just a bunch of fear stuff. There's nothing to fear. They make you take all these shots. It's just nonsense. 2 days I was in Cameroon going, they need to give us more shots. People were dying around. I'm literally, you know, we wake up in the morning, the missionary goes, yeah, I got another diet. People, you're carrying these dead people by your front door, and they died from stuff. Is that stuff that, do you guys, the missionaries, they were saying, yeah, oh, you need all the shots you can get. I'm saying, when you were there, I was overwhelmed with how, wow. Until you've been to Africa, you just have to go. It's a whole different world. God started to put 2 years later, I went back to Cameroon to do a conference for missionaries because I really got burdened about the missionaries not having anything poured into them, and they were just dying on the vine, so to speak. So I went back and poured into them. I got called back by a mission agency to do a conference for missionaries in that part of Africa, but it was in Cameroon. Again, my heart's getting tied to Cameroon. And by then, I started praying for them every day. God, and by then, I had names. Oh, God, save Myro. Save Baki, Sue, and Bakari. Save Isa. Save Aji, Amadou, and Modi, Sali, and Ali, and his wife, and Fatimatu. And save Courage. Oh, God, save that little girl. And, oh, God, that gatekeeper that you asked me to give my Bible to before I got on the plane. Oh, God, save his soul. 2 years later, I went back for another missions conference. By this time, I've been there 3 times. And again, God wove my heart deeper and deeper into Cameroon, and it began to be a bigger and bigger part of my prayer life. And then a couple years later, we sent a team from here to go over and just share the gospel in schools. And it was, oh, God, all those seeds sown. I mean, we're able to go into public schools and preach the gospel, and there were Fulani people there. There were Muslim people there. And there were Hausa and Wimboom, and we began to pray. I began to pray every day. And so for week after week, you got to get this, day after day, week after week, for over 10 years. It didn't matter whether I was in Alaska. It didn't matter whether I was someplace in Europe doing a pastor's conference. It didn't matter where I was doing ministry. Every day, I'm praying by name for all those names in Cameroon. And I would get to the end of that prayer, and I would say, oh, God, raise up a glorious church in Cameroon for the healing of Cameroon, for the healing of Africa, and the healing of the nations. Every day, day in, day out, 10 years. And then one day, I'm in speaking in Sunday school, And this black couple comes. This is no kidding. There was a black lady the week before from the lab, and she said, you know, I think I'll get my husband to come next week. This black couple comes in and goes, oh, she brought her husband. It wasn't her. And yes, that's very stereotypical. They all look the same to me. They just, oh, jeez. You guys can laugh. It's legal in church. But I'm no kidding. That's what I did. And I'm like, but then he started sharing some things during Sunday school. It's like, oh, this guy's really sharp. And then by then I realized, this isn't the same lady. This isn't the same lady. This is a different couple. But you know, us guys that are all white out here, there's no black people. So we just think like, there's one. It's got to be the same one. But it wasn't. And so I asked him, I said, where are you from? And he goes, By then, it's 14 years into praying every day for a country that God had woven my heart into. And you know what he said? I'm from Cameroon. He had my attention immediately. And I said, so where in Cameroon? And then he went, I said, no, where? He said, oh, Yaoundé. The last place I did a mission conference was in Yaoundé. I said, oh, I know where that is. And I told him. I said, the last place I was at was at this, I don't know, some sort of Baptist compound or something. He knew right where it was. But remember, every day I prayed for what? That God would raise up a glorious church for the healing of Cameroon, for the healing of Africa, and for the healing of the nations. And what I didn't know at that time, the storm that was heading our way as a church, I was about to head into the deepest wounds in my ministry that I've ever experienced. I was about to head into a time that was going to challenge me and just take my breath away in pain. And God sent me a Cameroonian son to come alongside me and do ministry when I desperately was going to need the healing I had been praying for. For 14 years. I didn't know how God was going to answer that prayer. I will bring healing to you in areas you don't even know you have. And when those wounds came, this brother fought alongside me, and he was there with me. And God, through him, brought healing in this heart and this church and is continuing to bless. And you know what? You pray, and what does God do? He allows you to reach what? Nations. These people prayed. They woke up, so to speak, from their prayer. And what happened in chapter 2 of Acts? They wake up, and God had gathered people from every, right? Isn't that what it says? Look at chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. The Holy Spirit of God has come. Amen? And when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under the heaven. I don't think they had any idea how they were going to fulfill the Great Commission. They knew they needed to what? Just needed to pray. And they gave themselves to the vision, and God brought people from every nation. I need to tell you today, as Jesus said, I have food to eat you know not of. But I say that knowing that actually you do. What do I mean by that? Jesus said that because he was so excited about having just shared Christ with someone. I have food to eat. And some of you even know what I'm talking about. It has been a glorious time to watch God work and save souls and bring people into the kingdom. It has been a time we're standing today and just rejoicing. When you look around this place, it's not just Cameroon. God has brought people since that time when I started praying in different countries and different people. He's brought people from, I started going through it in my head this week. I told somebody, I think 15 different countries, but I got to thinking, well, off the top of my head, I could only count 13, so I'm pretty sure I'm still 15. You know what I mean? I'm getting old. But I mean, I'm just seeing it, and I'm seeing the gospel go out, and I'm seeing people transform and take it back to their countries. And I'm really excited to have food to eat you know not of. Not only am I getting to still share Christ and see people get saved, but I got an Ecuadorian grandson coming in a few days. Yeah. And the news just landed. I just got my Nigerian grandson an hour ago. Right? And Christopher and Emily miraculously survived a car crash that they were in Father's Day. Emily should have been killed. Little Benjamin shouldn't be here, but he just came in the world a few weeks ago. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That means I got a black, a brown, and a white all in the same month. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's awesome. Who's doing that? God is. Last night, though, I have to tell you, when that plane did not land, that's so cool. When that plane did not land, and you know, every plane after that landed, and then we heard some scuttle, we heard some airport gossip amongst airport employees that the United flight people, the people that run the plane, the pilots, were new when it comes to coming into Missoula. They come in from a different place than anybody else does. And obviously to them, it was like, oh, it's foggy, we can't land. Everybody else landed, so what's that mean? They're chicken. But you have to understand that God also ordains chickens. So I'm like, God, why this? It's just reflective of this whole story. When God wants to bring us into his kingdom, there's no part of that that was easy for God. No part of it. Sometimes he's brought us part way, right? Sometimes he's done this work and we started to respond and then we turned our back. And what did he do? He reached out again at great cost into our world and drew us to himself. And then we had this time, you know, like this thing with Katie, it's been on and off. Katie and Mike, they've struggled back and forth. They've been told they had it, and then it's been ripped out from under them. There's been a lot of corruption, a lot of things that have influenced this, all the way to this last little thing where all they had to do is land the plane because they wanted to be here today, and it wasn't easy. They had to do the hard thing. I want you to know that the Father, God's heart, loves you so much that he has paid such a price for you, and it's never been easy for God. But love wins in the end. Amen? And we have a lot to celebrate because God, he is building his church from every tribe and nation, and he's going to continue to build it, and this church can impact the world. We have somebody that's on fire for Jesus head to Brazil right now. You think that can multiply? Amen. We have an on-fire warrior from Ecuador that's moving back here. She's been down there doing ministry for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years since she came to Christ in this church. Now she's coming back here to do ministry, and I'm going to tell you, it won't be localized in this house. It will continue to spread where? All over the world, because she's been taught that. God is going to use this ministry if we continue to have the heartbeat of God, if we continue to abide in him. Today, I just want to, in closing, share with you just one thought in Ephesians chapter 2. This is a challenge for you today. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us. 1 through 3 talk about how dead we were. You remember those days? But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, by the way, in which it cost him, that's how great it was, it cost him so much. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive what? Together. Alive together with Christ. He made us alive together. He raised us up together, verse 6. And he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The together there is not you and Jesus. He goes on to explain it. The together there is you together with each other in the great miracle of the body of Christ. I want to ask you a question today. Are you alive together? Have you given your life for the great miracle of what Jesus is doing when he said, I will build my church? Have you given your life to the great miracle of the body of Christ? Are you alive together in Christ doing the work of the kingdom? Because if you think you're alive in Christ, but you're not alive together, I hate to break that bubble, but he made us alive together without apology because he's building his bride. Now, you might be a believer in him, but he gave us a command, lay down your life for each other, love one another, and then he puts us together in this great miracle, the body, from every tribe and nation. He is building his church. I will not apologize for that. I used to be ashamed of the church. Oh, just come to Jesus, but run if they talk to you about the church. Uh-uh. I am not ashamed of the bride of Jesus Christ. He is building his church. We are alive what? We are alive together. That's why we weep together when we grieve. And some of you, many of you have fasted and prayed and wept for this thing with Oliver. It has been brutal. But we also what? We also what? We rejoice together. Father God, I thank you for your word today. And God, I thank you for this holy calling. I thank you, God, that you have bought us with your blood at great cost. You've called us and you have set the solitary in families. And it's not just a biological family with a kitchen table and a roof and food. It is your eternal family. You have set us. We were all solitary. We were all aliens. We were all strangers. And you made us alive together in Christ. And we need to celebrate that today. You are building your church. You are bringing people from all over because you love the diversity of this world that you created. And God, I thank you that you're building your church. And today I pray if there's anybody here who needs to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, who needs to stand up and say, I'm giving my life to Jesus today, knowing that when he takes my life, he's going to make me alive together in the body of Christ. You know you need a family. You know you need Jesus. And he says, come to me. I will set the solitary in a family. And you'll know love like you've never known it. You'll know family like you've never had. You know what it is to be accepted in the beloved, and to be a part of something bigger. Come to me, Jesus said. Today, he's even now wanting to continue the miracle of building his church from living stones. If he's calling you today to do that, run to him. Say, here am I, Lord. Take me, make me a part of your kingdom. And Father God, I pray you do this work and bring glory to your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. We're going to sing a closing song. No? We're good to go? By the way, we're not, just what time is it, by the way? What's that? But here's the thing. She came in later than she had planned. So it's 12:08. They just now leaving Missoula. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. We got lots of time. We don't have to hurry this. And so I have a lot of respect for what God is doing. He has his timing. So if you're the person that God is asking us to pause for, how do you know that? Just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, are you trying to draw me? Are you trying to invite me? The last thing I said to Anna this morning, I mean, she's just weeping and I'm holding her on the curb, you know. I said, Anna, you can't choose your relatives. And I said, you know what I mean by that? She's shaking her head, she's crying. She said, that means God chose me for you, and you for me. I said, amen. It also means that you are stuck with me. I will forever be your father spiritually, and I will pray for you every day, and the body of Christ that you got so close to, you still belong to them. They're family. You're not alone. Amen? He sets the solitary in what? Families. And it goes on, by the way, in Ephesians to say that we were all strangers and aliens. What's that mean? We were outside. We were not part of this great miracle of the body of Christ. And I say today with great zeal, if you come across somebody who's a believer, says they don't need the church, they are not speaking truth to you. We were made by Jesus to be a body member, vitally linked to the miracle of the family of God. We all need it. I need you, and I don't have any problem admitting that. And you are stuck with me. I love you, and I'll continue to lay down my life for you. So I just want to praise the Lord. We got a couple minutes. Do you have any kind of chorus? We are the family of God. Can we sing that? Father, make us one. Let's stand and do that. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you need to come to Jesus, and then by the way, when we're done with this, get in your car and follow us. We're going to go down and celebrate together a miracle that's been 3.5 years coming. And I'm telling you, even if you're new to the church, you're going to be blessed by it. You're going to be blessed by seeing a little boy he was literally given to the orphanage when he was minutes old, has never known anything but a little 40-foot room. And when he sees the love of Christ, I'm telling you, I'm just looking, I just want to bless him. We're going to go there, we're just going to sing a praise, we're going to pray, and then we're going to disappear. But just being there and welcoming him into the family is going to be a blessing for your heart. All I'm asking you to do is get there, praise God, connect with the heart of God, and I guarantee you, you'll be glad you went. So let's sing this, Father, make us one. And if God is telling you today is the day that you need to say, here am I, Lord, take me. Do it while we're singing this. Amen.